Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few minutes of inspiration and loving conversation. Today, I thought I would address the issue that's been a constant push in society, especially the last 4 years, and that is denial, fake news, and the resurgence of it being okay. You know, I think about the great deniers of fact and how people are willing to manipulate the truth for their own needs and to further their own desires. And as I thought about it, I was like, wow, you know, we see it on such a large level now, but before, I never thought of it as it really was. And that is, when people do that, they are trying to grasp and maintain power. And so when you see it at the highest levels of government, you know, it kind of makes you understand a little bit more about the quote-unquote normal people who are falling into the trap of believing that it is, that the fakeness, the lies, could be, quote, alternative views, and therefore not necessarily what they are, lies. And the sadness of that misperception by people who are willing to follow someone going down the wrong path is that it creates not just ambiguity, but it creates a hole that innocent people can fall into and, you know, in this case, lose their lives. And so the biggest one that got me thinking about it was the way people are denying the reality of the coronavirus. You know, the one that we are experiencing in 2020 is not, it's not fake. It's not the normal coronavirus that gives people colds. This is a deadly TKO, total knockout virus. And we are learning new things about it each and every day. What I find so sad about people's willingness to be misled is that they are not looking at facts. They're not looking at reality. And in some way, they've put blinders on that makes them unable to even comprehend the possibility that they are wrong. Even, not the word comprehend, but even entertain the possibility that they are wrong, you know? And I have always loved medicine, and because it's so tied into science, and science for me is, you know, just, it's phenomenal. I love it. And so what I've been doing is looking at the projections, the facts, and the path that this virus has taken, the path that this virus has taken. And I was not obsessed, but I was definitely enjoying learning how this virus is being studied, how it is affecting people, because I see that as the what we need in order for us to be able to survive as, you know, not just a nation, but as, you know, people. You know, I do not find any joy in anyone becoming sick or succumbing to the death behind the virus. What I'm doing is looking at the facts, because I want to be informed, and B, I'm not one to stick my head in the sand and pretend that reality is not true. You know, I believe in science. I believe in in morality, I believe that people have a right to be given correct information and to have access to that information. Now, when you willingly create negative information, not only are you doing a disservice to yourself and everyone around you, but you are not helping anyone. And so as we see with the situation and the virus and how it's being denied and how it was being denied by people in power for a long time, it led people to think that they could go out, they didn't need a mask, that they didn't need to isolate, that they could have parties, that they could just go on as if life is normal. And what we started seeing was an influx of people who had to turn around and admit, and even some on their deathbeds, that the virus was real. You know, and these were some of the most staunch supporters of the quote-unquote fake propaganda that A, the virus was not real, B, that it was done set up so that they could distract from other things that were going on, and C, that it would not affect people of color, and then finally that it was going to go away. It really wasn't real. But what we started seeing was the numbers rise. And before that even happened, I started looking at the fact that it wasn't just a phenomenon happening here in the United States. You know, it was happening in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and everywhere else where people exist. And so you don't get the opportunity to pretend that something is not real when you're in power and people are dying behind it, you know? And it wasn't until people started losing their lives or started losing their loved ones that they started, you know, batting their eyes and regaining reality and looking at the truth of what we know about the virus. You know, there were scenes that, you know, left me in total shock and unable to even potentially believe it was, fake. And so I think I shared with you before how I started, you know, back in February and March, looking at the news, listening to the facts, preparing my household, and you know, trying to become educated so that I could help myself and the ones I love. And I remember someone coming to see me and I was like, you need to not be out doing what you're doing because it's not safe. And, you know, the person repeated back to me, well, you know, my teacher said that this is just like the flu and it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, children are not going to be as affected as adults. And, you know, all of this uneducated theories they were giving this young, impressionable child. And it hurt my heart, not just because I love this child, but because I knew it was a damaging falsehood. You know, the truth about viruses is that no one knows what they are capable of doing. Even old viruses that have seen a resurgence can change. You know, they can morph into something more deadly. They can morph into something totally different. They can jump species. They can affect some people and not affect others. We're seeing such a prolific value given to this current virus that it just pops up everywhere. And each week there is something new. We're learning about it. You know, there were people who had never had any symptoms, but for some reason they got tested. And when they got tested, we found out that they had been carriers. And it was probably through what they call contact tracing, which helped us figure out how people were being affected, who was being infected, and ways to kind of stop the spread once we identified the people that, you know, were super spreaders and they were not showing, not necessarily super spreaders and, but people who were, super spreaders. And then there were other people who were not having any symptoms that were really, quite contagious, you know? And so I don't know if it's because I love sci-fi and I'm an avid reader, and that my mind is always constantly, seeking knowledge and seeing possibilities that maybe other people don't see, because I'm always sitting alone most of the time. But I saw the severity of this, or I believed, I did not know totally true, but I believed that there was a severity to this that many people were missing. And it was not until, you know, whistleblowers came out and started talking about the fact that, you know, yes, people of color are in the ER rooms and they are there at a higher percentage than the people who did not have melanin in their skin. The other thing we heard from people on the front line, like nurses, was that they were suffering in different ways. Instead of presenting with the cough, which is what one of the biggest identifiers was initially, they were presenting with chest pain and weakness and tiredness. And so in many cases, they were just being turned away and saying, oh, you don't have COVID, and they were being denied tests. Some of them were going home, they were infecting their families, and they were dying. And so you started seeing things where there were whole families just dying. You know, people were waking up and, you know, hearing from someone from a phone call that so-and-so was in the hospital or so-and-so died before they got to the hospital. And that came about because of fake news. The interesting thing, you know, is there may be other reasons as well, but you have to stop and ask yourself, how many people could have survived this virus had everybody been on the same page and be willing to say exactly what it was? And why was our government willing to perpetuate the lie and actually put lies out saying that people were, it was not true, and you know, people weren't dying? And what we started seeing was nurses were dying, doctors were dying, and they are continuing to die. First responders are dying. You know, people did not have access to what they call PPE, personal protection equipment, which were gloves, masks, face shields, you know, physical coverings for their body, because this virus was and is continuing to evolve, you know? And so as we look at this, they identified that the N95 masks were vital to protecting the people who were trying to take care of people who were sick. And then what happened was you had, you know, which is a little different, but I want to talk about this too. You had people go out there and say, hey, I can make some money. What can I do to, you know, cash in on this tragedy? And so people were stockpiling things like the, like gloves and the mask and, hand sanitizers, alcohol, bleach. You know, it just got to be this vicious cycle of, not only do I need to protect myself, but I need to get as much as I can get so I can sell it back at high numbers and get a large return on investment. You know, it wasn't like people were had this philanthropic endeavor where they were going to buy this stuff and then donate it to the hospitals and the nursing homes and the school systems and our federal government. No, that wasn't in their peripheral view. They were seeing green. You know, people like me were seeing dead bodies. We were seeing body bags. The mass graves, you know. But other people we're just seeing green. And the thing that always fascinates me about people who see green is they don't realize that that is dangerous. You know, the thing I think about money is that it's paper. It's not going to give you or save you life. It's not going to save your life. It's not going to add moments to your life when it's your time. Now, granted, if you have good insurance, they can hook you up to stuff and keep you animated. Some people get their bodies frozen, which is a whole nother issue that I don't even want to go into. But those are some of the ways that people believe that they can buy longevity, which, you know, when it's your time to go, you know, I don't personally want to be somebody who has to sit in a Cairo machine or on a, you know, a heart lung machine infinitely. I just don't want to be that. I think that that, you know, deteriorates the body. If you're sitting there, you're not able to breathe for yourself if you're being intubated. And I always have an issue with that word, intubated. And so, you know, you have to look at reality. And what I was seeing was I saw that China and Italy were suiting their people up. They were protecting their doctors, their first responders, their police production. Okay, we had people in America who was talking about wrapping themselves in, you know, silicone. What do you call it? Saran wrap, which I thought was comical at first because I didn't really think people were going to do it. Then you had people, you know, cutting holes for their head and their arms out of black and actually any kind of garbage bag they could get. And you know, that was really just a recipe for failure. Now, I'm not claiming to understand, you know, all of the RNA factors and all of the science behind it, because that would not be true or accurate. What I can tell you is, even if you are a layperson like myself, you have the ability to obtain knowledge to keep yourself and your family safe. You know, I started seeing this red flag in my mind when they were doing things like saying, okay, only if you were on the front line could you actually get an N95 mask. And then, you know, I saw where people were stealing the mask in the hospitals. And I was sitting there going, you know, that has to be a special kind of person who is willing to protect themselves and not think of anybody else. And, you know, I don't necessarily believe in my heart that those were the ones who went into nursing or doctor or who became doctors or other people who give their life every day as a means to protect, you know, large people. And in most cases, people they don't know. You know, we're not just talking about rural hospitals here. We're talking about big city hospitals. You know, these people go every day with knowing that there's a possibility that they may not make it home. And that if they do make it home, that they could perhaps potentially affect their loved ones. And, you know, we saw people who were taking extreme, precautions who still ended up being sick and, dying. You know, we saw cases where thousands of people were dying a day, you know? And when you started looking at the number of diseases worldwide that were taking people, you know, COVID-19 just started growing exponentially. It just started surpassing other ways people were dying. And then people started looking. Now, the thing is, one of the ways people were drawing people into their conspiracy circle was they started presenting, quote unquote, proof, you know, alternative proof that, you know, there was some disease that was always coming up on an election year. You know, whether or not that was true, that was coincidence. And at best, it was coincidence. At worst, it didn't matter because we still had to deal with the reality of the fact that people were dying. You know, and so I think that this is one of those situations where we need to do a split split what we're talking about, because I would like for you to sit and to think about what the first part of what I'm saying before we go in deeper, because, you know, this gets deeper and it gets deeper quite quick. So we're going to keep this under 25 minutes. And, you know, just, I want people to listen and to research for themselves, and for their family so that they can keep themselves safe. And if you're somebody who's been denying it, you know, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just trying to say, let's have, a factual conversation about the risks that denial presents for, you know, for people who we love and care about, and even for strangers, because I don't think you can, discount people you don't know, their lifestyle values. And so, you know, when you're looking at your own life and what you want for yourself and your family, in my mind, common sense dictates that we should want the same for people we know and people we don't know. We want people to have the ability to live, survive, and, you know, be healthy, you know, not just survive in an altered state of impairment behind this disease, but to be able to thrive in their lives, to have, you know, hopes and to keep the dreams that they had and to be able to live to fulfill their dreams. And that's not what's happening. You know, there have been, on the other side of that, we had doctors who were looking at this and sounding the alarm and saying, you know, stay hydrated, wash your hands, drink warm water, you know, and telling us how this virus was living. And you had universities out there who were putting out the information they were getting from testing in their laboratories. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to those who did not stick their head in the sand and started giving us information that we needed to, combat this virus. Because, you know, in my mind, I see this virus as fire. I see it as a flame that is not willing to be put out, and people are succumbing to this flame, you know. So you have to be able to look at reality. And so I just want to say to you, you know, step away from your willingness to be in denial for a moment. And think about the fact that this is affecting every continent in the world. It's affecting every state in America. It is affecting every nationality that we know of, with the, you know, possible exemption of tribes somewhere that, you know, we have not discovered yet, because that does happen occasionally. Other than that, other people and everybody are being affected. You know, so the disinfectant wipes came out. We understood that. We learned that we should not shake hands anymore, that we should use elbows, you know, and some people thought it was cute, whereas I thought it was important. And I still think it is important. And when people were saying send the kids back to school because it's not, you know, necessary, kids aren't being, they're not being affected, you know, the same way. We learned that they were not being affected, but they were definitely spreaders, right? And what we did was we allowed for people to die because of our willingness to deny. So I'm going to cut this short at this point. This is just part one. I must tell you that I don't know how many parts this will be, but I will try to keep each one, you know, at a reasonable level. And I'm just going to pray that my voice holds out, because I think this is too important not to talk about. So, please join me for part two of, the danger of denial. I'm going to wish you well until we speak again. And I will try to get the second part of this up as soon as possible. Walk in peace. And keep your eyes open. Wishing you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a restful evening of peace. Goodbye.